So, the topic of discussion today is around who do you love, okay? We say that we love people, we love things, we claim we love Allah, and of course love requires an opposite, right, which is to hate. We hate things that we don't love. And today is a day, which is the day of Valentine's Day. And although I'm not here to talk to you about Valentine's Day, but I will mention briefly that it's a festival of the disbelievers, and we are not allowed to participate in such festivals. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum." Anyone who imitates a people is from them. And from the imitation that we are not allowed to do is the imitation of festivals. In fact, there's a narration by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu anhuma, in which he mentioned that the person who partakes in the festivals of the disbelievers will be resurrected with them on the Day of Judgment. And Valentine's Day is a pagan festival. It's a pagan festival, and it has no part in our deen. And to oversimplify it and say, oh, it's just a day for this and that, and to be nice to your spouse, we have days, we have our Eids. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he saw his companions celebrating a festival in Al-Madinah, the Ansar from Medina, they were celebrating it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked him, he said, what are you doing? He said, this is a festival that we used to celebrate in Jahiliyyah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah has taken all of the festivals that you had and he's exchanged them for these two festivals, the two Eids that you have, Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam negated all other festivals and celebrations. Except for Eid al-Adha, Eid al-Fitr, and of course we have Friday. Jum'ah every week is an Eid for us. Does that make sense? So no one can come and say, oh, this, that, and the other. If you want to be nice to your wife, be nice to her every day. You know, set maybe a day in the week or a day in the month. It's going to be a date night or whatever have you. Do that. But do not partake and celebrate in their festivals, because their festivals have shirky, paganistic, polytheistic underpinnings. Does that make sense? But since it is the day where people talk about love and whatnot, I thought it would be a nice opportunity, because people's ears are focused on love and what is love and loving, to talk about love. To talk about love in today's lesson, inshallah ta'ala, because love is a part of our deen. We are commanded to love. Allah mentions there's love between husband and wife, mawaddatan wa rahma. Allah placed love and mercy between the husband and wife. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla talks about loving him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He talks about people who love others equal to Allah Azza wa Jal. So where do you draw the line? How much am I supposed to love my wife? Is it wrong if I love my wife? How much is wrong? How much is not enough? How much is too much? What does it mean to love Allah? What does the love of Allah Azza wa Jal require? What does it necessitate? We're going to talk about it today, inshallah ta'ala. We're going to base it mainly the discussion around one ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, in which Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يَتَّخِذُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. Allah said, from mankind there are those they take andad. They take andad, which is the plural of nid. What is nid? Nid is when you make something equal. Okay, when you make something equal. So Allah said, from mankind there are those they take others as objects of love, and they take them in their love for them equal to their love for Allah. So nid is a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ which kind of explains what the term nid means, which means equal. One sahabi, he said to the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Ma sha Allah wa shi'ta." He said, O Messenger of Allah, whatever you and Allah will. Whatever you and Allah will. Right? So by using the waw, in the Arabic language called waw al-atf, so by saying ma sha Allah wa shi'ta, he connected Allah and the Prophet as equal. He made them equal in terms of the mashi'ah. When you say insha'Allah, he said, when you say ma sha Allah, he said ma sha Allah wa shi'ta, what Allah wills and what you will. The Prophet ﷺ became very upset when he heard this. He said, أَجَعَلْتَنِي لِلَّهِ نِدًّا. He said, did you make me a nid to Allah? Did you make me equal to Allah? Did you make me a competitor? Did you make me someone who's on the same level as Allah Azza wa Jal? And then the Prophet ﷺ, he said to him, بَلْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَحْدًا. Rather, you say what Allah Azza wa Jal wills only. Allah alone. Does that make sense? So Allah Azza wa Jal is saying in this ayah that from mankind there are those, they take others as equals to Allah. Does that make sense? The hadith here, where the Prophet refuted the man, was on him making Allah equal to the Prophet in will, in mashi'ah, in will. Whatever the Prophet willed and what Allah willed, he said it's the same. And that's the hadith, and that's wrong. Like in the ayah is talking about making someone equal to Allah in love. يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. They love them the way that they love Allah. And the ulama, they gave two explanations. The ulama, they mentioned there's two explanations. What does it mean, يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ? The first explanation is that they love the idols, okay, the way the believers love the idols. They love the humans the way the believers love Allah. They love money the way that the believers love Allah. Does that make sense? Because in the next ayah, Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشْهَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. But the believers are the most intense in their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does that make sense? So if you take the first view, which some of the ulama mentioned, which is that here, يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ means that they love other than Allah, whether it be money, whether it be idols, whether it be prophets, whether it be saints, whether it be his wife, whether it be his girlfriend, whether it be her boyfriend, whatever it is he loves, his job, he loves it. He loves it the way the believer loves Allah. And how does the believer love Allah? How does the believer love Allah? He loves Allah intensely. Does that make sense? He loves Allah intensely. So the next part of the ayah, what does it mean then? It means, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ means that, okay, you love these things the way the believers love Allah, but the believers, the way they love Allah is still better than the way you love these things. Why? Because the people who love other than Allah, whether it be an idol, whether it be a prophet, whether it be his girlfriend, when it's hardship and times of hardship, what does he do? He leaves off that thing that he loves and he starts to make dua to Allah. He starts to help, ask Allah for help. Allah says, فَإِذَا رَاكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ دَعُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ. Allah said, the people who do shirk when they're in a difficult situation. Shirk means to share with Allah, an act of ibadah. And love is ibadah, as we're learning here. So they say, for example, a guy, he worships an idol. When he's on a ship and there's a storm, what does he do? دَعُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. He makes dua to Allah sincerely. He doesn't ask his idol at that time. The one who's on a plane, he's an atheist and the plane dips. He doesn't believe in Allah, right? He believes in the stars and the moon and the universe. Like when the plane dips, what does he say? God. He says, oh God, where did that come from? Does that make sense? So, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ, meaning that you love these things the way the believers love Allah. But the believers are more intense in the love for Allah because they're sincere. The believers only always ever love Allah. But you love these things only in times of good. But like when times become difficult, you leave off this thing that you love and you come begging to Allah Azza wa Jal. For example, a man, okay, he's got a girlfriend. He's in a haram relationship with her. Okay, what does he do? When the going gets tough, he starts making dua to Allah. Sorry, Allah make tawbah. Please, it's difficult, whatever difficult situation he might be in life, he forgets his girlfriend, he doesn't pick up her calls, he doesn't respond to her, he doesn't want to see her, he starts praying, he starts hanging around in the masjid, come and see the brothers. And Allah saves him. وَلَمَّا نَجَّهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ. When Allah saves them and he brings them to safety, إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ. What does he do? He doesn't thank Allah, he goes back to the girl, because he loves her more than Allah. But he doesn't love her purely. Even in his love, the point is when you love something other than Allah, your love is never pure. The love for Allah is always the one that's pure. Because you're going to ultimately realize that this person is going to let you down, or they're not going to be able to give you what you need, they're going to need to come back to Allah. So why don't we just love Allah in the first place then? Why do you make them an equal to Allah? The other explanation, this was the first explanation, which was that it means, وَلِذِينَ آمَنُوا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ, that they love the things that they love the way the believers love Allah, but the believers are more intense. The other explanation is that they do love Allah, but they are divided between loving Allah and this idol. Or they're divided between loving Allah and this girl. Or divided between loving Allah and the money. Divided between loving Allah and his country. Divided between loving Allah and his culture. Does that make sense? He loves them equally. He loves them same. Does that make sense? وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. The believers, their love for Allah Azza wa Jalla is established in times of difficulty or hardship, it doesn't make a difference. They are the ones who will always, they will always love Allah Azza wa Jalla. Does that make sense? So the believers are pure in their love for Allah. They don't love anything else besides Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, now pay attention. We have seen Allah Azza wa Jalla discuss a people who love Allah equal to something else. And Allah describes these people as people He's going to punish on the day of judgment. وَلَوْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. These people who are oppressors, when they see on the day of judgment. In fact, there's another ayah which is faster to explain. When they are placed inside of the hellfire, they will say to the people that they used to love besides Allah, نُسَوِّيكُمْ بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. We used to make you equal to Allah. And in the hellfire because of it now. But this is shirk. Because you have to love Allah Azza wa Jal purely. Does that make sense? You have to love Allah Azza wa Jal purely. But like, and what about a person who, this is if a person loves someone equal to Allah. Like, and what if a person loves something or someone more than he loves Allah? Is this not worse now? He's gonna go to hell, and he has left the fold of Islam just by loving someone equal to Allah. What if he loves someone more than Allah? What if he loved someone and he didn't love Allah at all? Is that not worse now? Sadly, this is the case with a lot of people who associate themselves with Islam. This is the case with a lot of people that nowadays associate themselves with Islam. They say, I am a Muslim. He will say it. Lakin, as Imam Al-Qurtubi rahimahullah said, and brothers, if you could write this statement and memorize it, it is a statement of gold, wallahi. He said, Lisanul hal ablahu min al-lisanil maqal. He said, the statement of your body is louder than the statement of your tongue. In other words, actions speak louder than words. You claim that you love Allah, but lakin, you can't give up things that are haram for Allah Azza wa Jalla's sake. You cannot give up things that Allah Azza wa Jalla sees to be reprehensible. What's the word? Reprehensible? Or did I just make the word up? Things that are abhorrent to Allah Azza wa Jalla. That was in context, right? But you can't give him up. He cannot abandon these things. So really, is his love for Allah Azza wa Jalla real? You know, the one who loves Allah, he wants to spend the night with Allah. The one who loves his wife, and she's the one he loves the most, he wants to spend the night with her. Like the one who loves Allah, he can't wait for his wife to knock out so he can just do some wudu. Stand up and privately just pray some qiyam al-layl, pray to Allah. His wife wakes up and he's annoyed. God, this wife's getting up. I'm trying to spend time with Allah. The same way with the woman. Every lover is with the one who he loves or she loves in the bedroom at night, right? Like the one who loves Allah is with Allah at night. So brothers, you have to, and sisters who are listening, you have to actualize and manifest this love for Allah through actions. Does that make sense? Show it. If you love Allah, then you need to behave in a way that is loving to Allah. You need to do the things that Allah loves, and you need to hate the things that Allah hates. Look at this hadith that I'm going to show you. And this hadith is a yardstick for you. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Awthaqu 'ala al-iman." The highest branch of iman is what? Al-hubbu fi Allah wal-bughdhu fi Allah. It is to love for the sake of Allah and to hate for the sake of Allah. It's the highest branch of iman. There is no branch of iman higher than it. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that iman has bid'un wa sab'una shu'ba, or bid'un wa sittina shu'ba. The iman, salamu alaykum, has 60 to 70 odd branches, or kama qal. A'laha, the highest branch of iman is qawlu la ilaha illallah. It is a statement, la ilaha illallah, that there is no one worthy to be worshipped in truth except for Allah. That is the highest branch of iman. So in one hadith, the highest branch of iman is la ilaha illallah. In the other hadith, the Prophet said, the highest branch of iman is to love for Allah's sake and to hate for Allah's sake. This is not a contradiction. The hadith are explaining each other. The highest branch of iman is la ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah means to love for Allah's sake and to hate for Allah's sake. Why? Because when you say la ilaha, you're saying there is no one worthy to be worshipped in truth. You're saying is, I hate those things that are besides Allah, that are worshipped besides Allah. Illallah, you're saying Allah is the one that is loved. Allah is the one that is worshipped. Does that make sense? And it also shows you that the foundational element when it comes to ibadah is love. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said a statement which is very powerful, brothers, write this down. He said, a person does not move to do any action except that it is something that he loves. He does not do any action except that it is to do something that he loves, or it is to avoid something that he hates. Does that make sense? He didn't say the hate part, but I'm just explaining it because the opposite, it means the same. Does that make sense? So a person doesn't do an action except that it is something that he loves. Pay attention. Then what does that show you? The asal, the asas, the foundation, the root, the starting point of every action is love. The root, the starting point of every action is love. So if the foundation of action is love, then is ibadah an action? Is ibadah for Allah's sake only? That means that the foundation of all ibadah is love for Allah's sake. Now the point here is that if you love for Allah's sake, you must now also hate for Allah's sake. Don't let the Christians delude you and deceive you. They say God is love, God doesn't hate. Nonsense. Of course God hates. You must hate. How can you love the thing? How can you not hate the thing which is opposite to the thing that you love? Will God not punish people in the hellfire? The Christians believe that, right? So does he love them? Is that why he's punishing them? Or is it because he hates them? Why did he punish them? Is it because they were doing things that God loved? Or is it because they were doing things that God hated? So then hate and love are two things that come together. I give an example. Who here loves their mother? Everyone loves their mother, right? Question. Can you love the one who comes and spits in your mother's face? Imagine a person every day comes and spits in your mother's face. Can you love that person? Can you say, I love you? Will you be able to have love for the person who comes and slaps your mum? May Allah protect our mothers. I mean, but someone came and attacked your mum physically. Would you be able to love her? Some of you, I can see your face is already getting angry at the thought of thinking that. Does that make sense? So if you cannot love the person who is offensive and disrespectful and violating the rights of your mother because you love her so much, then do you not love Allah more than your mom? If you love Allah more than your mom, then how can you love the people who violate Allah's rights? Allah said, قَالَ اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَانُ وَقَالَ اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَانُ وَلَدًا. They say, Allah ar-Rahman has taken a son. لَقَدْ جِتُمْ شَيْءٍ إِدَّا. They have uttered a filthy, disgusting thing from their mouth. They're insulting Allah. That Allah has a son. And we say, that's my friend. That's my boy. I love them. I love him. Does that make sense? A person who loves the kuffar. He loves them. His love for Allah is weak. And he should be scared. He should be scared. Because he may be from those who loves the kuffar equal to how he loves Allah. Maybe he loves them more than he loves Allah. Maybe he doesn't even love Allah at all, but he just doesn't say it because he knows it's wrong to say, I don't love Allah. People nowadays say, how can you hate the kuffar? How can you hate this? How can you hate that? Hate the sin, not the sinner. What do you mean? Someone came and slapped your mum in the face? Are you going to say, hate the slap, but don't hate the one who slapped my mum? Why do you have a standard for Allah and a standard for your mum? You have a standard for Allah, but a standard for your child. Because you love them more. You love them more than you love Allah. That's the problem. No one's saying go out there and attack the kuffar. Because Allah said in the Quran, لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ عَنْ دِيَارِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Allah said, Allah does not prohibit you from being good to the kuffar. Be good to them. As long as they don't try to harm you or kill you, be good to them, no problem. Rather, Allah said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Allah loves it when you're just. Be good to the kuffar, be just to them, treat them in a nice way. Allah has no issue with that. There's good manners though. But I don't love you. I'll tell a kafir to his face. Bro, do you need help? I'll help you. But I don't love you. So why are you helping me? Because Allah told me to. It's because I love Allah. And Allah will be happy if I helped you. That's why I'm going to help you. Kafir needs some money. You want to donate to him. No problem. Give him some money. But I thought you hate me, bro. I worship Jesus. I do hate you. But for Allah's sake. It's not personal. It's all, I hate you because you violate the right of Allah. But now Allah told me to be good to you. Because of his sake. And that'll make the kafir think, wow, that's powerful, man. Allah benefits me. I don't even worship him. Maybe I should start worshiping Allah, who benefit me more. Does that make sense? The point here is that when you love for Allah's sake, you have to hate for his sake as well. They go hand in hand. You love Allah, you hate the ones who are the enemies of Allah and who hate Allah. You love who Allah loves and you hate who Allah hates. And you love what Allah loves and you hate the things that Allah hates. So what does Allah love? The three things Allah loves is a tawheed. So you love tawheed. How can you love tawheed when you don't know it? How can you love la ilaha illallah when you don't know it? You have to study it. Allah loves sunnah. And Allah loves ta'ah, which is obedience. Allah loves tawheed, sunnah and ta'ah. And Allah hates the opposite of these three. Allah hates shirk the most. Then Allah hates bid'ah. Then Allah hates disobedience. Does that make sense? Not just that. Allah doesn't just love tawheed, sunnah and ta'ah. Allah loves the people of tawheed, sunnah and ta'ah. And Allah doesn't just hate shirk, bid'ah and sins. Allah hates the people of shirk, bid'ah and sins. Does that make sense? So these are the things. If you want to love Allah, you need to become acquainted with, because they are testimony to your love. Does that make sense? Now, love is of three types, right? Love, when you love things other than Allah, because can you love things other than Allah? Are you allowed to love other than Allah? Of course you are. You're just not allowed to love them equally to Allah. You understand? You can love your mom, you can love your sister, you can love your brother. By the way, someone always asks, a revert obviously is not required to hate their family members because Allah mentioned in the Quran, صاحبهم في الدنيا صاحبهما في الدنيا معروفة. Accompany them in this world in good. Accompany them in this world in good. And we're going to come to it right now because people always ask the question, does that mean I have to hate my mom if I'm a revert, or if I've got family members as a disbeliever, do I have to hate them? We're going to come to it. So the point is that, can you love other than Allah? Yes, you can. But the love is of three types. Two of them are fine. One of them, it is shirk. Does that make sense? The first is al-mahabbatu lillah. Is that you love someone for the sake of Allah. And this does not decrease a person's tawheed. Rather, it helps complete it. Why? Because you're saying, Allah, I only loved him because of you. Allah, I only loved her because of you. I only did it because I love you. The same way, you know, like for example, yeah? there was a man. His name was Majnun Layla. He was in love with a woman called Layla. Does that make sense? Okay. So he just walked up to all. He walked up to the house in which Layla lived and he started kissing it. He started kissing it all, yeah. And when asked, you know, why are you kissing this? He said, I'm not kissing the wall because I love the wall. It's because this is the wall of Layla. Does that make sense? So when you love something, you love other things because of it. Does that make sense? Like a person will show love and respect to a friend of their mother's just because their mother, they love them so much that they show respect to that which their mother showed respect to and love to. So you're saying, Allah, I only love this because of you. My love for this is connected to you. I don't have a direct connection to this. It's only through you, Ya Allah. And that is a completion of one's love. And that's good. That's what, like when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. None of you will truly believe until you love for each other, until you love for your brother, or you love for yourself. So you're supposed to have this kind of love. Does that make sense? When you see a brother in difficulty, you help him, you aid him, you show him support. Why? Because you love him for Allah. In fact, you go out of your way to help a brother who you love for Allah's sake than you would for a person that you love for your own sake. Why? Because if you love him for your own sake, that's selfish, right? And you don't go that far because you don't have much value for this person. He's just based on you. His love is based on just you. Does that make sense? So when you start to maybe not see eye to eye with him, your love for him runs out. Like when it's for Allah's sake, because you love Allah so much, and Allah told you not to love the believers, you're going to go out of your way for Allah, because you know ultimately it's not him I'm making happy, it's Allah making happy. And that's why, for example, the kuffar will struggle to lend money to their own brother. They struggle to lend money to their own brother when he's in need. Like in the believers will send money to Syria, to Palestine, to Somalia, to Gaza, to Afghanistan, to Bangladesh. They'll send money around the world to people they've never seen in their life. Why? Because they love them for Allah. That's the difference. The second type of love is a love which is al-mahabba al-taba'iyya. Okay? It is the love which is natural. And this is like, for example, a disbeliever has a natural love for his mom. This is not something that Allah is holding you to account for. This, for example, is the love that you have for food, the love we have for nice clothes, the love we have for a nice car, the love you have for a wife. It's just natural love. Like, this is just that love that's always going to be there. You can't help it. Does that make sense? So that's also fine. And the third type of love is al-mahabba ma'allah. It is when you love something with Allah, equal to Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is a love which is shirk. Tunafi al-iman. It negates a person's iman. It takes them outside the fold of al-Islam. And it is something that we must safeguard ourselves from. And the final thing I'll mention to you, inshallah ta'ala, before we conclude, is how to test your love for Allah. Because there is a test. There is a litmus test. There is a test that Allah gave us in the Quran. Every single one of us today can measure if we truly love him subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. And it is in the ayah where Allah Azza wa Jalla said, قُلْ. He told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to them, O Muhammad, say what? إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. If you truly love Allah, you claim to love Allah, we're going to put you to the test. What's the test? فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Follow me. Follow the Prophet. Follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يُحْبِبَكُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah will love you back. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. Allah will forgive you. ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Your sins. Allah will forgive your sins. Pay attention. Imam Al-Hasan Al-Basri rahmullah, he said this ayah is ayatul imtihan. It is the ayah of test. A people claim that they love Allah, so Allah put their love to the test. He said, if you truly love me, follow the Prophet. Because you can say, I love you all day, Ya Allah, but does it mean anything unless Allah loves you back? If you can say, oh Allah, I love you, but if Allah doesn't love you, does that benefit you? Allah will only love you, and your love will only be true if you follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala said, anyone who claims to love Allah, he doesn't follow the Prophet, his love is fake. Imam Al-Junayd rahimahullah ta'ala said, Allah closed every door to Allah except for the door of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Does that make sense? Now it's problematic though, because some people, they go to an extreme on this, and they love the Prophet equal to Allah. First off, when they go to the Prophet's grave, is a greater act of worship than going to the Kaaba, or it's equal. We love Allah. Why do we love the Prophet ﷺ? And why do we follow them? Is it because he is Muhammad ibn Abdullah? Or is it because he is Muhammad Rasulullah? Is it because he's Muhammad, the son of Abdullah? Or is it because he's Muhammad, the messenger of Allah? Why do we love him? He's the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why we love the Prophet ﷺ, due to Allah. But these people, they love Allah due to the Prophet. They love Allah due to the Prophet. So anyway, the way to test your love for Allah is to test how much you follow the Prophet ﷺ. When you hear something, is it sunnah, is it not? Don't ask whether it's wajib or sunnah. Ask, did the Prophet do it? In terms of aqidah, follow the Prophet's aqidah. Aqidah salaf al-salih. Be ahlu sunnah wal jama'ah. Qawlan, in terms of your speech. Amalan, in terms of your actions. Wa qalban, in terms of your heart.
Finally, Taha, we're going to be able to produce videos so fast on this new powerful Mac, inshallah ta'ala.
Bro, get off the Mac.
Oh, my bad, bro.
You're bad for real.
Yeah, I didn't see you there, man.
What do you mean you didn't see me? I'm right here.
No, obviously, how am I supposed to see you, bro? At the time we're recording this video, you've not been edited in yet.
Say wallahi.
Yeah, you've been edited.
No way.
Yeah, post-production, my G.
That's mad.
Whole time, K Visuals, obviously, as you can see. More money came in, we're able to hire a better visual team. That's why we can do stuff like this. But anyway, bro, listen. I need to talk to the people, okay?
Bro, do your thing. I'm just going to sit here and listen, inshallah.
In the first place. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. As you guys saw, literally, about just over 24 hours ago, we put out a video saying we need to raise money for new media equipment so we could spread La ilaha illallah across the world wide web.
And alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, you guys, almost with Allah's permission, have managed to reach the target, which means we're going to be closing that fundraiser very shortly because we're just a few thousand away from our ultimate goal. Now here's the thing, do you know what that means for you? That means you miss out on an opportunity to get mad reward, because as I showed you in the last video, from that one camera, we managed to reach 20 million people. That means there's a potential of 20 million rewards just of YouTube. Imagine all the multiple different cameras, the different computers and the thing that we purchase from these donations, and then all the da'wah that we spread across the internet, the kind of reward you'll get. You see, now when that fundraiser closes, your opportunity is gone. And I'd advise you, please don't miss out on that. And there was a companion at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet told the Sahaba that there's going to be 70,000 from his ummah that are going to go to Jannah without any accountability, which means no questioning. Day judgment, straight to paradise. So one of the companions, his name was Ukasha, he stood up and he said, Ya Rasulullah, he said, make dua to Allah that I'm from those 70,000. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, Anta minhum. He said, you're from them, it's done. Another companion heard it, he was like, oh, you just have to do that? He said, ask the Prophet. So he got up and he said, Ya Rasulullah. He said, make dua to Allah to make me from them as well. And the Prophet said to him, Sabaqa kabiha Ukasha. He said, Ukasha beat me to it. That was a limited offer. You missed the window of opportunity. So what that shows you is that don't let someone beat you to the punch. Don't let someone beat you with an opportunity to get that kind of reward. I mean, think about it, man. We've got sins. But have an opportunity to buy a piece of equipment, which there's going to be multiple rewards are going to come from it. Rewards in the hundreds and thousands, rewards in the millions potentially, inshallah ta'ala. That's not the kind of good deed that you want to pass up. So anyway, inshallah ta'ala, with that said, I'm going to leave you guys before this guy gets upset. Open the box.
Yeah, bro, we're going to unbox you soon as the video
quickly,
stops, man. Just be patient, bro. Hasten this one to a bun.
Anyway, listen, bro. Before little me gets upset, I have to bounce. But the link is below if you don't want to donate, inshallah ta'ala, so we can spread this da'wah. Listen, inshallah, we're going to spread this da'wah everywhere, inshallah ta'ala. Everywhere that Allah allows us to be. Of course, we can't do it each and every single place. Before we get a little refutation, oh my God, he's everywhere. Jokers. Assalamu alaikum.